Alright, and we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Pop Culture Cosmos. The Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please, 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 please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support our show here, the Lakers Fast Break, and Lakerholics.com, that would be greatly appreciated. The Lakers are headed to training camp here in a few days as we talk about this, and we're excited for another season already so soon for the Lakers to go ahead and defend their 2020 NBA championship. Oh, that sounds good when I say that. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting time. Maybe the tweaks are not quite yet over. They're still, as of this recording, and hopefully we'll hear thoughts on this just after Thanksgiving on what kind of deal Anthony Davis is going to be signing. But we are pretty sure, about 95, 98, 99% sure that he's going to be coming back to Lakers. There's not many places else to go because nobody else has cap room. So looks like he's coming back. For how long? We're going to find out here in the next few days. But once again, is getting closer to training camp. And here today to talk about some of the team that's going to training camp are good guys indeed. First off, I've got the Magic Man. You could find all that he's doing today at Lakerholics.com, plus all the comments that he's talking about as well when you go to Lakerholics.com, including ones where him and I go a little bit back and forth, but mostly him and Laker Tom. It is Sean Grice. And Sean, great to have you back on the show once again. No Jamie Sweet for this week, and I do apologize, but big happy shout out to him. And also thank you once again to Rafael Barlow for also appearing on the show this week. He's so knowledgeable. The guy is just totally on it each and every time when it comes to the NBA. For him as a Portland Trailblazers fan that he is, that his team is going to be even more competitive and will give the Lakers a run for it this year. But my friend, the Lakers are headed to training camp. Are you a little bit more secure? Because you talked about me a little bit more safe and secure, and I still have my kind of reasons why I'm still kind of little tweaks here and there, but they do go into this season and this training camp a little bit better off than what they were last year.
Going into training camp, I'm with you, Gerald. I feel a lot better now that we have a center. Looking to fill out the rest of the roster, I think looking at this from strictly a playoff point of view, because that's what we do as Laker fans now. The 9-man rotation of Caruso, Schroeder, Matthews, Kuzma, maybe LeBron, KCP, Harrell, AD, Gasol is, I feel really comfortable.
Don't forget
about
Markieff Morris.
Morris is there too. So now we have a 10-man rotation, which is really nice. Few contending teams close to having a 10-man rotation in the playoffs. So I feel pretty good.
I feel pretty good about it as well. Although, I mean, when you go to ESPN, you go to CBS, you go to all these places, Fox Sports and all that, you're hearing them all praise the Lakers for winning NBA free agency and that going into the season, you know, being so active. And yes, Rob Pelinka gets a lot of props. Someone who I was really unsure about that I'm now on the train with. And of course, when you build a championship team, you have to go ahead and give him full confidence on that. I mean, there are some things as I spoke to Rafael Barlow earlier this week on, and that was the fact that I was concerned a little bit about the Ibaka for Harold thing. I said, that's still going to get me as far as in the playoffs. I still think Ibaka is a better fit in the playoffs for the Lakers. But then again, Harold coming off the bench, providing you instant offense, that should be a good thing. Obviously, with Schroeder, that could be one of the most devastating, if not the most devastating bench that you could possibly have. If Schroeder's coming off the bench, that's still up in question. And obviously, that's going to be worked on in training camp. I am still worried about Gasol not going ahead and aging 100 years in the playoffs like he did last year in the playoffs, because you and I saw that. I still think he has some good time left. I think if you give him the right amount of rest during the course of the season, you could go ahead and say, you know what, I'm fully confident you're going to be able to give me at least 2-3, possibly even all the way as far as 4 great rounds of playoff basketball. At least, at the very least, give at least a good matchup against Jokic if we have to match up against Denver. So I feel pretty good about the team. Although I'm hearing the same kinds of things that I heard about, I'm hearing about the Lakers now that I heard about the Clippers last year. So I don't want that to be the kiss of death. I know Laker Tom always sees me as a glass half empty, but again, does not seem to you that they're saying the same things about the Lakers now that they did about the Clippers then.
Right. All I'll say about that is this. For some reason, the bubble really reflected either the best version of yourself or the worst version of yourself. Marcus Gasol shot 39% from three during the regular season, or what was a truncated regular season. Pretty good. In the playoffs, he shot, I believe it was 18%, which is, I mean, god awful. And I mean, we could go into Montrezl Harrell being the worst version of himself in the bubble. I mean, he looked tired. He looked disinterested. He looked like he didn't care.
Gasol looked at it too. I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, we've got two guys who pretty much were the worst versions of themselves in the bubble coming into training camp. And I really think under this veteran leadership with LeBron, Gerald, that those two will have a fire lit under them for, you know, a redemptive season.
I certainly hope that they don't go ahead and maybe with Pau Gasol, one-day contract, although I think it should be more fitting if he is retiring and gets that magical one-day contract, it should be with Memphis, because he really, truly was that franchise. As much as he gave the Lakers, I really, truly think that he was that franchise. I know Laker Tom is shaking his head no, but he was more important part of the Memphis Grizzlies franchise than the Lakers franchise. I'm sorry. Sean is agreeing with me. Laker Tom, but before, let me give you the intro. So Sean is agreeing with me on that, but I want to hear from him on Pau Gasol. Either which way, it's a great honor for a Hall of Famer. Let's just put it out that way. He's a Hall of Famer. But I would rather see a spot filled by an actual player that's going to contribute to the team for an entire season, because I'm not sure how much Pau has left. But my friends, again, we've got Sean Grice, but we also have today with us, he is the mastermind behind Lakerholics.com. You've got to be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com. This is my good friend indeed. I'm not here to argue again today. I want to just go ahead, peace and love. It's Thanksgiving, so I'm very thankful to be alive and to be breathing somewhat normally here. I'm hoping I'm okay. I'm hoping everyone's okay. Hoping I don't have anything out there, because, you know, I had to go out there and grab all the food for Thanksgiving, so you're always worried about that. But it is Laker Tom, and Laker Tom, I know you always wanted siding for the Lakers, as do I. But again, I think Pau means more to the Memphis franchise, because he's pretty much essentially him and Mark have, you know, there's very few others that have really made an impression. Mike Conley, I mean, you could put the list on one hand for Memphis.
Hey, I don't have a problem with Memphis hanging a Gasol jersey up in the rafters.
Because they will. Yeah.
They got nothing else to hang up there, so they might as well do that.
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh.
I will say that we owe Pau Gasol two championships, man. And he deserves to have his jersey up in the rafters.
Oh, I didn't say that, yeah.
If he was going to go into the Hall of Fame, it would be wearing a Lakers cap, because he didn't do anything.
I think he's going to go in Memphis. I think he's going to choose Memphis, just to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to choose the Lakers.
They don't get an opportunity to do that in basketball, but you can think that all you want, Gerald, but you're wrong.
That's up to the league, the Basketball Hall of Fame, and Pau Gasol, but I think he is given the choice. I just think that he's going to go with Memphis. That's just my opinion. I didn't say
given a choice. They don't wear the Raptors. They don't wear a hat.
Well, if that's the case, they're probably going to give it to Grizzlies, because there's not as much representation.
Well, nobody's going to give it to him. He would have to come out and state it. And I think based upon his relationship with Kobe Bryant, his history with the Lakers, that there's no question that he considers the Lakers the peak of his career.
Well, and I do too. But again,
let me get back to the original question.
Okay, yeah. Getting back to Mark, and I think
let's talk about the Lakers, because I think that I saw one True Hoop there actually had the Lakers ranked third, or the third best off season. which really just surprised the hell out of me. I think
who do they have first and second, if I may ask?
Rob Pelinka created a masterpiece.
No, wait, who do they have first and second?
Clippers and the Bucks.
That's gonna be a troll.
Henry must have been smoking. I couldn't understand why.
Okay, I could say Atlanta. You could say Atlanta had a great off season. There may be
Atlanta had a great off season. I've seen them missing on most of the top the playoff teams in the East, or they made one. They made one of the rankings, one of the power rankings as number eight. They have a pretty good starting lineup.
Well, I mean, if they make the playoffs, if they make the playoffs and the Lakers win the championship, which I'm hoping that the Lakers do, I would tell you honestly that who had the better offseason? It's Atlanta, because they had to go from so much farther below.
I don't know. You also got to measure the difficulty that you have. I think what we saw this season, this offseason, was the genius of Rob Pelinka. Last year, he was handicapped by having to wait for Kawhi making his decision. And he had to really put together a team built with nothing but guys that he could not give more than two-year contracts, veterans. He did a masterful job. And then the coaching staff did a terrific job putting them together and creating, you know, a terrific defense, an offense that really relied heavily on LeBron and AD. Pelinka came out this year, and I wrote an article in Medium and on LakerHolics.com about what a masterful job he did, because his first two moves were obviously to really do something about the problem of what do you do when LeBron sits or AD sits. And because when we didn't have LeBron and AD on the floor, our offense was anemic. Well, he went out there and he added two 18-point-per-game players in Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell to replace Rajon Rondo essentially and Danny Green. That was a net increase between the two of them of 45 points a game. They added over 25 points per game difference by those two players, which is a tremendous difference in the offense. And Laker fans could have been just thrilled and happy with that as a great accomplishment for Pelinka, but he wasn't done, because then he went back out there and he replaced the best two defenders that he had on the team with a pair of elite defenders. I'm not going to hold one playoff series, especially a playoff series in the bubble against Marc Gasol. He had for the regular season the third best defensive rating in the league, and Wesley Matthews had the second best defensive rating in the league for all players at all positions. The best player on the Lakers was 10th, which was Alex Caruso. So you have two guys that he added with defensive ratings under 100, which is pretty hard to do in this league in today. So what we ended up with is Pelinka jacked up the defense and he jacked up the offense. We did lose some guys. We lost Rajon Rondo, who definitely was instrumental in the playoffs. We lost Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. Frankly, we gave away Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee because we didn't want him anymore. Howard actually accepted an offer that we never made to him, and embarrassingly had to delete his Instagram post. And McGee, we actually went out and gave one of the few second-round picks that we still have left to the Cleveland Cavaliers to get rid of him. You know, the Lakers made a big change, not only in the personnel of the team, but in the strategy, because they finally got rid of the whole idea that you can win championships and build a sustainable dynasty in the 2020s. With a couple of guys that are dinosaurs as far as being in the center position. And instead he went out and got Marc Gasol, who shot 38.5% from deep for the regular season, has always been a solid shooter the last 4 or 5 years, is an excellent rim protector. He can't defend on the perimeter at all, but then neither could McGee or Howard. That's the reason why they ended up sitting. It wasn't because they couldn't stretch the floor, it was because they couldn't react fast enough on rotations and the defense was suspect. It was Morris coming in there to allow AD to play the five that really revolutionized our defense. And the Lakers took that to heart because they fixed the offensive side of the center rotation and the defensive side of the center rotation. The next step, this is the article that I just put out today, is they need to go out and get Dwayne Dedmon. Dedmon had a horrible last year, split between Sacramento and...
But 2 years ago.
Atlanta, but 2 years ago, the guy was terrific.
I wonder who dropped that knowledge on you. I wonder who did.
And he played with, at Atlanta, a guy who's our point guard now, Dennis Schroeder.
And the most important thing, that he has worked in training in recently with Rafael Barlow of NBA Draft.
Rafael Barlow said he looked really good.
Yeah. And then who dropped that knowledge? Who dropped that knowledge? Me.
That was you. That was you. We really should thank Rafael for it.
Yes, we should. I just did on a previous episode.
And
so.
For anybody who doesn't follow Rafael Barlow, you can tell what kind of a judge of talent and is a knowledge of basketball by just watching any of the NBA Draft Junkies videos where he analyzes prospects, because he's not only a trainer, and he spent that week back in L.A. training with Dwayne Dedmon, but he's also, a really excellent analyst and scout.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that we get Dedmon, because that would complete the transition from dinosaur centers to modern stretch five centers, and would really give the Lakers. I think the key to this whole thing is that right now we really only have one center, which is Marc Gasol. The problem with the Clippers is they tried to make Harrell a center, but he's not a center. You can't play center at 6'7". He's just too small.
Well, you can do it with the Lakers, because if you have him with AD.
No, but he won't be playing center when that lineup. AD will be playing center in that lineup.
Yeah.
And here's the key. AD is, you're absolutely right, Gerald, that the key to unlocking Harrell is playing with AD. But by the same token, the key to really unlocking Harrell is if we can get Dedmon too, because then we got enough minutes that he can't get enough minutes in the game playing just with AD. Okay, because AD's not going to play the five that much, and you can't play him up against a lot of the centers.
When would you play Morris outside of when you go small in the playoffs? When would you be playing Morris during the season? That's what I'm.
Well, when we go small, you got to remember, what is our small lineup? Our small lineup is Morris at the four and AD at the five.
But Jerry,
small ball. We're still going to play that small ball. But in this case, what we got is Gasol at the five. What we're doing is we traded McGee, the tandem of McGee and Howard. I'm hoping that we will trade that for a Gasol and a Dedmon duo, which would be just a devastating combination, because then Harrell can play with either one of those guys because they're stretch fives.
He lives in L.A.
He'll pull the other center into the outside, and Harrell will eat up any power forwards offensively.
Well, he's from L.A. He lives in L.A., so he's just on a freeway. Well, actually, that could be a long way if you're driving the L.A. freeways. But
unlike,
he's a USC Trojan. Fight on.
Well, what about – here's the thing that's kind of strange, because everybody's been saying that, or at least I've read half a dozen posts saying basically, well, Boogie decided not to come because he didn't see an opportunity to play. It was a question of playing time. And that's kind of funny, because we only have one center, and – it's not like you're offering a third, people thinking that Harrell is the backup center and that Boogie or Dedmon would be coming in and being the third center. That's totally wrong.
But Boogie is going in as a starting center for Houston. It is on a non-guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
He's not starting right away.
They also sent some money on Christian Wood. Wood is going to be the starting center. Boogie's going to have to prove himself.
Wood eventually is more of a four than a five.
Wood play almost the whole second half of the season. He's a five in Detroit.
It's undersized, though.
That's his best games came as a five.
He's thin.
Houston is a mess. They're playing Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey's team with Silas and a new GM.
They added Boogie and Christian Wood. That's a doggone good pick. I mean, if you wanted, I wasn't complaining at all about Harrell instead of Ibaka. My complaint was Harrell instead of Wood, because I would have loved him.
I agree with you there. I've sold you first on Christian Wood.
But Harrell as a power forward playing next to a stretch five, he's going to be sixth man of the year again. Wait and see. And he's going to punish teams.
We don't necessarily know what, if we went small ball. We might go micro ball this year. You never know. You could see a lineup of Schroeder, Caruso, Matthews, Harrell, and LeBron. I mean, you could see a combination like that this year.
I don't think you don't have any.
Well, you only,
Frank Vogel,
you only have one or two centers on your team, though. I mean, depending on the matchups, Vogel's shown that he's willing to adapt. I'm not saying it's going
to
happen.
We have to have another center. We have to be surprised if we need another.
Yeah, well, we really don't know whether Pelinka is still in the weeds, right? Looking to see if somebody's looking.
I would like to see Dedmon on that team, and also a backup point guard. That would be great to go ahead and finish out the roster.
Yeah,
would love a 3-and-D wing too, but you don't have enough spots on the roster, so unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. One of those has to break, but. Dwayne Dedmon as a block-shotting three-pointer that could be.
If you give him two years ago, that would be good. To be a quality guy. You don't find many guys who sign up as a 13th player in the team who have a shot at playing 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Now, the backup point guard, I was listening to Eric Pincus's YouTube streams where he talks, and he's got a spreadsheet up here, and he goes over the salary cap and everything. And I really recommend it for anybody who wants to understand the salary cap and the machinations that you have to pull off as a general manager to listen to Eric's stuff. And it's great because you can just click and move along to find the subjects that you want to talk to. And you'll see the screenshots of the Excel spreadsheets there. But he talked a lot about the Lakers, about the point guard situation. And the point that he really made, I thought was interesting. He says the coaches don't feel like they really need a point guard at this point in time because they have LeBron, they have Schroeder, and they have Caruso. And the third guy that they really think can fill that role is THT. They really expect him to be in the rotation. Now, as I look at it, he's got to be the 12th guy on the lineup, you know. But it just depends on, you know, if somebody gets injured, somebody gets into foul trouble. They really believe that THT can contribute and he can handle the ball and he can distribute. And he's got some talent. I wouldn't be surprised also. The other thing that Eric brought up is he said, if you throw THT into the point guard spot, okay, then all of a sudden you've got three guys in the point guard spot and you only got two guys in a shooting guard spot. And there's a clutch guy who was on the team last year who's a pretty good shooting guard. And he thinks there's a chance that we may see a return of one of the two clutch players that filled in, you know, whether it was J.R. Smith or Deion Waiters. And I think Waiters would be a nice addition as a shooting guard. Or they may go with some of these young kids that they got because there's not a whole lot of there is still some minutes. There's a lot of minutes at center. There's some minutes at guard because we've only got five guards. And a defensive wing, we can always use a defensive wing, but I think maybe they're hoping that McKinney will be able to earn the contract. And the only reason they kept him over Jordan Bell is because Bell had a shorter contract that they could spread the remaining salary over. Otherwise, they would have flipped it around. McKinney has got a three-year deal, and would have spread it out to like 6 years to stretch him. And that's the main reason they did it. It wasn't really a talent situation.
Exactly.
So it's kind of funny. I think as much as we think that Rob's done a terrific job and he's almost done, there's still a big piece, which is what happens. I mean, if we don't get Dedmon for some reason, what is the answer there then? Is it like Sean says, we're gonna play some small lineups? How do you rest AD? That's another reason that Dedmon's important, because if you get Dedmon in there, you've got two centers. Last year, we spent 36 minutes a game with McGee and Howard at center.
And now
we got one center, which hits your point, Gerald, one 35-year-old injury-prone center.
Yeah, and the reality of the situation is that, you know, you're going to have to rest LeBron more. You're going to have to rest AD more. That means sitting them out some games. And also,
good that we got a lot of guys that got out early.
Yes, and you're also going to have to rest Marcus Gasol. You're going to have to give these guys a rest if you want them to be fresher. They cannot play the season, the truncated season, the back-to-back-to-backs.
KPP, Morris, they played in the playoffs all the way through.
Yeah.
So that's one of the nice things about having, you know, you're going to see a lot of minutes with Harrell, a lot of minutes with Schroeder. a lot of minutes with Matthews, you know, because they were out of the playoffs pretty quickly. So Matthews not a young guy, but at least he's rested. You know, we may see McKinney and THT get minutes just simply because they have fresh legs compared to a lot of the guys who carried us through for the championship.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. So, Sean, I'm going to hit you up with this, and we're almost headed here on the way out for this week, and I want to hear you guys an update on what you're doing. And we may come back on the weekend. If more news happens for the Lakers, we'll come back on the weekend.
Yeah, if they sign Deadman, that would be a nice session.
Yeah, because I'd also like to bring in Jamie's thoughts before we head to training camp, right. So I'd love to hear his thoughts as well on that. But, Sean, before we head on out, I want to hear your thoughts on this, and that is, you know, with the situations as far as the playing time and things of that nature and the roster way it's balanced out, do you specifically think that the Lakers won the offseason?
100%, Gerald. 100% think we not only won the offseason, it was like bottle rockets on the 4th of July as far as I'm concerned. We upgraded the backcourt. We upgraded the front court. I believe in this coaching staff. I believe in this veteran leadership. And I think we still have some few moves to make. Like Tom said, we really do need another center. So we did win the offseason. I mean, you can make a case for Atlanta. Sure could. They really improved themselves. I think you could also make a case for a team like Dallas, they yes. had a sneaky good offseason.
Raphael mentioned them too.
Two.
Raphael gave them a lot of props on that.
Right. And then I'd slide Portland in there after
yep.
them.
He mentioned, then, I mentioned them. Then, yes.
Yeah. And then you maybe get to the Bucks. But to me, those four teams had the best offseason.
Well, Bucks win if they get Bogdanovich. But they didn't get Bogdanovich, so it's a moot point for them.
Bucks win if they get Giannis.
Oh yeah, they win if they get Giannis. But Giannis, as of this recording, and recording just the day before Thanksgiving, he is not signed as of yet, and that's going to be a major issue if he goes into training camp and not having signed. And there's going to be a ton of questions on his future there. And you know, Dallas, Miami, the Lakers might be eyeing that, much to Laker Tom's chagrin. But they might be eyeing a future with Giannis and LeBron and AD at some point. Yeah, line.
Yeah, the only way they can do that is if they have to trade for him. I mean, look what's happened with the Heat. The Heat had the most cap space, and they had to make a choice. Do they want to anger Bam and disappoint Bam and not extend him?
You got to remember, Bam.
Guys, everybody else in his class is getting extended. And they have the same agent as Giannis, so they made the decision, and now that's going to leave them with like $20 million.
Well, hold on before you say that.
There's nobody who has enough money to sign Giannis totally out of free agency.
And I get that, and it'll be a sign and trade deal. But you got to remember, Bam has the same agent as Giannis, so I just want to give that up to you on that. But yeah,
another reason why we might see Kostas be one of those filling spots at the end there.
That's true.
He might be the backup center.
But
Peacock could be the backup centers.
That's down the road. That's in June of 2021, July of 2021. We'll talk about those issues if they really happen. If it's even realistic. Well, go ahead, Sean.
Well, let me ask you a question, Gerald. Just a gut shot. Do you think he signs that extension before the season?
I told you already that I thought he was going to do it. Now I'm not so sure.
Right.
I'm wavering now. I'm wavering hard. Personally, I would have, and then just said, you know what, Milwaukee, if you're not going to get me to the trade me, I'm just going to make life miserable for you after a year if you don't trade me. I would have taken my money and need it too, because you can see that in the NBA, you can do that. You can have your money and you can have your trade to a team that you're interested in if they have enough assets. So
right.
You can have
the only problem, with that is they don't have to trade you where you want to go.
No, but they can make he can make your life.
There's going to be like 15 teams offering everybody on their roster.
Yeah. So
but remember something about this franchise though. The last time they gave up their true superstar, what happened? It just went on to win, what, 5 championships, a few more MVPs, a couple NBA Finals MVPs.
Schroeder and KCP, totally exactly what Giannis is making right now.
Well, if Giannis, incredible.
If Giannis were to demand to be traded to the Lakers, he could pull an AD.
There you go. Could happen. Although, like I said, I'm not gonna. It's not. I'm just. These are just. You know, just throwing stuff out there.
I think he's not gonna. I think Milwaukee blew it because their front office made some real faux pas deals that other people they made. They screwed up a deal that other teams would have completed, and that's
if they had
not a good look.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tom. I was just gonna say if they had kept Malcolm Brogdon. Gerald, I'm with you. I think he would have signed that extension.
You don't mess with 50-40-90.
He was eliminated out of the playoffs in this.
He was Tom's right. He was so pissed off about that.
Yeah, you don't mess with 50-40-90. 50-40-90 is a real deal.
Brogdon and not chase Kawhi Leonard.
Brogdon is a great player and a really strong asset, a great complimentary player, and that was a mistake on their part, but you're right. We'll see what happens. Again, we're just spitballing. We're only speculating. It's just throwing out some light speculation. Yeah. I'm not really taking much stock into it. The chances
Antetokounmpo. I looked at my crystal ball, Gerald, and it said he wasn't taking a deal, man.
Yeah, well, Antetokounmpo, you know, the chances he'll go on the Lakers, you know, it's a long shot. But we'll see.
Lakers, and I actually, one of the articles that's been in the hopper for probably 6 months because I haven't been able to finish it is that I think there are good reasons why he's not a great fit for the Lakers.
I think he's an awesome fit. I think he'd be great with LeBron and AD. Don't even get me started.
Is he willing to play center?
Why not? He could play all 5 positions, man. He can guard all
he's
5 positions.
He's a bigger Kuzma otherwise, because we have 2 superstars playing the 3 and the 4.
Okay, AD.
He can't play the 2 and he can't play the 1.
AD,
so he's going to have to play the 5.
AD, Giannis, LeBron, and 2 shooters.
Every championship team out there, though, has had a superstar guard.
Again, the superstar guard is named LeBron James.
Ours is LeBron James right now.
Yeah, but to have a
we need to replace him with a guard, not with.
There is nobody, absolutely no team in the NBA that's going to beat the Lakers best out of 4-7 with LeBron, AD, and Giannis as 3, and 2 shooters. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, no chance.
No chance. But again, let's not go that far down. Okay, again, we're just talking about fantasy land here for now. Could be real someday. We'll talk about it then. But
here's the angle that's interesting about it. If you were Giannis, Gerald, what team would you think you had the best chance of winning a championship?
I'm not, like I said, I'm trying to just temper my enthusiasm for that. So I'm just going to say, it would be the Lakers.
Two teams come to mind, Tom.
Kawhi had 2 rings.
And he was trying on his teams. And he was trying on his brother's uniform over the summer. Yes, we know that. But go ahead, Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
I'd make sure our starting center.
Go ahead, Sean.
I think Tom's right. I think there are only a couple of teams he looks at and he can win a championship with. One's on the East Coast, Miami. One's on the West Coast, Lakers.
Yeah, but Miami's just a southern version of Milwaukee.
They can easily flip Dragic and Myers Leonard next year.
Sure they can.
And just slide Giannis right in.
Who's
there?
The other superstar to go with Giannis. You think Jimmy Butler and Giannis is good as is going to beat LeBron and AD?
I think a Jimmy Butler, Giannis, and Bam can be the next
three guys
team
who don't shoot the three.
KD and Kyrie.
Three guys who don't shoot the three.
All right. Again, let's not go too far into the Giannis because it's like going to a rabbit hole. Does that go too far?
He must have a TV show starting soon. He's trying to get out of here fast.
Well, no, because I've got another interview on lined up. But that's be that as it may. But I'm just gonna say this. We'll go down for the Giannis tree if it happens. Giannis, if it's a thing for the Lakers, then yes. I think that's when you should start the conversation. Because right now we're just spitballing, and it's not going to do us any good to go ahead and start the what ifs and speculations and whatnot. So we'll see. Now, could it creep closer to that? We'll see. We'll find out. But before we head on out, guys, I want to go ahead and get updates on what you're working on with LakerHolics.com. Sean, a.k.a. Magic Man, the guy who is the bane of Laker Tom's existence outside of myself, and also Jamie Sweets when it comes
to
the comments.
Jamie, really. Yeah, Sean and I agree on everything.
Okay, well.
Jamie, who are they?
I don't know if you guys agree on. I've seen the comments. I don't know if you guys agree on everything. But go ahead, Sean. Tell us.
A positive glass half full attitude.
Okay.
Whereas well, you and Jamie are always pouring the glass empty.
While I make this water half empty, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you're doing at LakerHolics.com?
Gerald, I'm the prodigal blogger. But I'm working on some micro lineups right now, because when you look at the center position as far as free agency is concerned, it's really a dearth of talent, my friend. It's slim pickings.
Yes.
And
it's empty, but go ahead.
And there was a dearth
You're
of talent.
You're always working on not emptying it, Gerald.
But go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, somehow Pelinka managed to pull off getting Matthews and Schroeder, which was a shrewd move. So we're
a
going
Schroeder,
to have to look
was
at
a shrewd the, move.
Yes, pardon the pun.
Yeah. Anyway, that wasn't planned. But we really need to look at some micro ball lineups, because like Gerald and Tom were saying, even with maybe an injury prone Marcus Gasol and another center, you're going to have to fill those minutes with somebody. And we saw what Markieff could do in the playoffs at the five. So I think micro ball is definitely something to look at.
And you're going to be writing about that upcoming, and plus also sharing your comments, where there's so many other people that are commenting and following right now, LakerHolics.com. Again, I encourage everyone to go ahead and travel to LakerHolics.com. I want you to flood it so much, not DDoS flood, okay? Because that's some hacker stuff that I don't want you to get into. But I want you to flood it with so much volume that Laker Tom can't post all of his crazy trades on there, that he really has to go ahead and upgrade his internet. But before you upgrade your internet and post your crazy trades and post your awesome articles alongside of that, which you can check out your medium.com. See, that's your catch 22. If there's so much volume going to LakerHolics.com and you can't post it, you'll just say, haha, Gerald, I can go ahead and post it on my medium.com site. What's going to go on as far as what you're posting in the upcoming days at LakerHolics.com, provided you can?
Well, I just posted two articles in the last 2 days. One of them, the subject of Giannis Antetokounmpo. And it was basically pointing out that the Lakers have adjusted their approach. They understand right now that there's no way with the depressed salary cap because of the pandemic. It's only going to go from, it was 109 last year, it's 109 this year. It'll go to 112 next year. There's no way that the Lakers can really land him in free agency. The only way they could land him in free agency is if LeBron and AD were willing to play for $20 million instead of $39 million. Run the numbers, Gerald. I've run the numbers.
They saw that they did this 10 years ago in Miami, roughly. I'm just telling you, they all took pay cuts.
They gave up $3 or $4 million, not $15 million apiece.
I'm just telling.
But there is a route. The whole point of this article is that the route for the Lakers, and as we saw the Miami Heat, that's the route for the Miami Heat now. For any team that wants Giannis, it's basically you have to trade.
It's
a trade or a sign and trade, one or the other. There's no other route. And so that article basically details all of the salary cap machinations that teams have trying to do. And the simple truth is you can do it if you just have one superstar. But if you do if you have two superstars like the Lakers, you can't even do it if you just get rid of your entire roster. And the whole point, really, of adding somebody like Giannis is not to have to get rid of your entire roster that you've spent 2 years building into a championship team. You want to be able to send pieces over there to trade for him, and the Lakers have done a great job of adding tradable contracts to their roster. That's one of the big things that Pelinka has done. So there's a great article on there on Lakerholics.com about that move. And then secondly, I just posted this morning an article on Dwayne Dedmon about how important Dedmon is to finishing off the terrific job that Rob Pelinka has done in rebuilding the championship roster and making it even better. And I agree 100% with Sean that the Lakers have the best offseason, period. They had maybe, I mean, it's a lot easier if you're Atlanta and you got $40 million in cap space to go out and throw money at people. But the Lakers basically, with no cap space at all, engineered a trade for Schroeder and then ended up getting three guys to sign, three extremely great players still able to contribute to a championship team to sign for the veterans minimum, basically. That's what we got Gasol for. That's what we got Morris for. That's the big difference of being a championship team. We were able to pull those moves off, and we lost four or five players. We upgraded each one of those positions that we lost. So the Lakers are in great shape, and I think that we're going to see as we move forward, if we can land Dedmon, it's going to be a challenge to see who plays, because we'll have a 12-man rotation. And that's exactly, you know, as I think you pointed out earlier in one of the podcasts before, Gerald, it's exactly what we needed to do. We needed an infusion of younger legs, and we needed a deep roster so that we could get load management time for LeBron and AD.
I pat myself on the back for that insight.
And Rob Pelinka accomplished all of those things.
One of the rare times I do, I guess. But I will say this. When it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo and your article, I will quote the great Jim Carrey. So you're telling me there is a chance. Think about that.
I outlined exactly how he could pull an AD.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yep.
There's a
chance. He has to pull an AD. That's the only chance.
So you're telling me. Well, I tell you what, AD, whatever he signs for, that's going to be a telling sign. If he signs for 1-1, that could be a very telling sign as far as it's concerned. So
yeah, it could indicate that maybe LeBron and him are willing to say, hey, Giannis, we're all three free agents. Let's come to the Lakers and we'll split. Here's the problem. I mean, AD makes 30%. Giannis makes 30% of the cap. And LeBron makes 35%. If you have any math skills, you can add that up quickly to see it's 95%.
If I'm Jeannie Buss, I'm paying in over the tax.
If you sign him for 95% of the cap,
I'm saying
5% of the cap to fill it out with enough players to qualify as a legal team.
If I get those three, I don't care what the tax bill is. I'm paying that tax.
That's not the way you want to do it, because you have a team with nobody. We're going to see that.
The Lakers are signing all these minimum contracts because they're the Lakers. If they get those three players, do you know how many?
Yeah, but you don't sign guys like KCP and Dennis Schroeder, and you don't sign those quality of players for minimum contracts. What you get are the 35-year-old Marc Gasols. Well,
you might get like 27, 28-year-olds.
33-year-old Markieff Morris, who's sharing his brother's $64 million bank account.
I'm running with that triumvirate.
Sign and trade is the way to do it, because then you come back and you got those three guys, and you've got Schroeder, and you've got Markieff, and you've got Gasol, and you've got all of these other players online.
I'm not telling you differently. I'm saying that was likely to happen. Like, you know, common sense is going to tell you.
I will bet you.
I'm not betting it.
I'm not betting
Jamie Sweetsman.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going to sign as a free agent. He will be traded.
No, I said I'm agreeing with you. I've been agreeing with you the whole episode that it is going to be a sign and trade. That's common sense. Well,
it'll be a sign and trade. Well, it's only a sign and trade if he doesn't get traded at the trade deadline.
Well, again, to get those assets back and to make it work a little bit better under the cap, but. Again, this is just a pipeline stuff. We're going far down the Giannis rabbit hole than I want to go ahead right now.
Well, but yeah. The rabbit hole is dominating in everything that the Lakers have done the last 2 years. So that's not a rabbit hole. That's part of the character of this team and what their motivation is.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Go ahead, Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, no, Gerald, I was just going to say, yeah, we could go down the rabbit hole with this situation all day. But the fact remains is that I believe if he doesn't agree to sign the Supermax before the season starts, then that means it rolls over to the offseason. He can't sign it until free agency, I believe. So that complicates
things. That means that he's getting traded at midseason, because who wants to wait and take a chance that he might go away for nothing?
Well, we'll see what happens indeed. So the
Lakers are in great shape because they added all these contracts that December 11th in a normal season. In this season, somewhere before
February,
the trade deadline.
February.
Some of these guys are going to be eligible to be traded.
Well, far down the rabbit hole we went indeed. But let's just talk about the team heading into training camp for now. Again, if there's any more info and news coming up, we will come back on the weekend for our regular live taping, and it will show next week on audio, if that's the case. But I will get these guys back together soon, whether or not it's before or after the start of training camp. We'll wait and see. But again, guys, it's been great talking to you both. That's Laker Tom and Sean, a.k.a. Magic Man, Sean Grice. Got to go ahead and check out what they're doing today at LakerHolics.com. Well, guys, far down the rabbit hole we go, but there's still a chance. There's still a chance indeed. And we'll talk about that in the coming weeks and months, possibly, as long as the Giannis soap opera keeps playing out. But we'll talk about that and more as far as the Lakers possibly repeating with an upgraded roster as they head into training camp and the 2021 season. We'll talk about that and more coming up in the next few weeks right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.